Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, everybody. This is Mitch Weissman, Beatlemania and Kiss fame. You're listening to Shout It Out Loudcast with Tom and Zeus.
That's right. We're back with episode 52 of Dorm Damage. And this week, we're back following up on one of our most favorite and interesting topics that we did last year. Zeus, what's going on this week?
So we did Road Trip with Top 10 Artists. That was episode 28.
Yep.
So we have a million artists that we love. So what is the next 10 of artists we would grab? So we were thinking more aligned, like, what is our favorite artist? Well, we kind of did it in the last one.
Yeah.
And so with this now, what we're doing is, if you think about it, right, we're going to the next 10 artists, take out those.
Yep.
The other part to this is, as I was saying to Tom, like, I'm thinking of it as, like, you got to have at least 3 to 4 albums of theirs. So last time, self-imposed rule.
Yep.
Every artist I have, I basically have every fucking song they've ever done. So,
yep, me too. Next, and that kind of applies to this list here, the next 10 for me. No, not for me. Okay, no, that's fine.
I have a self-imposed, like, I have to have at least 3 or 4 of their albums.
Yeah.
So one of them I'll explain to when it comes up. But Zepp, so this was our list last time.
Yep.
So I had Elvis, Zeppelin, George Jones, Alice in Chains, Eagles, Rainbow, Nirvana, Guns N' Roses, Tim McGraw, and the country artist Kelly Willis that I'm a fan of.
Yep.
Tom, your list.
Yep, I had. So we kind of had another self-imposed rule. We left Kiss off the list so we could cheat and leave that spot for somebody else. So my list was Zeppelin, Steely Dan, Rush, Metallica, A Tribe Called Quest, Prince, Alice in Chains, Beastie Boys, Foo Fighters, and Elton John.
All right.
Yep.
So we're on a road trip. We're taking some music with us.
Yep.
This is the catalog of the people we are taking.
Yes.
So last week we did on the Shout It Out Loudcast, we did best 6th Kiss track. And I believe you started off. So let's start this one off. I'll go first this time. So I try to mix it up. It's a road trip, right?
Me
you don't
too.
Want the same genre the whole time.
Yep.
It's okay to mix up your music. If you like music, you like music. It doesn't have to be, I only like hair metal, grunge, classic rock, whatever your fix is.
Yep.
So I like to mix my things up. So this isn't in any order. Like, this isn't, artist 20 or artist 11. I am taking for this road trip, the Great Rat.
Ooh, all right.
So I go from even EP, debut, Out of the Cellar, you know, basically all the way through to Detonator.
Yep.
And no, again, this is what I'm talking about. Like, I don't have any of this shit afterwards.
Yep.
And so I go to Detonator. That's enough albums for me to say, yeah, this is one of my artists I want to take. Yeah. And so, as I said, it's not in any order. So Rat's not my 11th. Just missing the top 10.
Yeah,
and it's not my 20th. It's just whatever. Yep. I'm just the next artist.
Yeah, I'm doing the exact same thing. And I guess we'll get it out of the way now. Duplicate. Oh. Rat is in my list too, brother.
Okay.
Yep.
Nice.
Yep.
All right. So we both have Rat. It just LA hair metal at its finest. Sleaze. I can listen through all those albums up to Detonator straight through without skipping shit.
So to me, with a lot of these bands, you know, and this isn't like kind of like breaking news or anything, but there are certain bands where I just love the sound of the band. Even songs that I might not like, I just like the vocals or the melody or the guitar crunch. Rat is just one of those bands. Even if it's not a song I love, I just love the sound of Rat.
Yep.
And that's what it comes down to with pretty much all these bands on my list.
All right. The second artist that I'm throwing in the 6 CD changer or shuffle on my iPhone. I'm going classic rock now.
Okay.
And with classic rock, I'm going to take Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Nice.
Basically anything. And I almost want to put / John Fogerty.
Yep.
Anything he does, I can listen to his vocals. I can listen to his guitar. I just love the sound of that fucking band.
Yep.
Just basic R&B style rock and roll that is so fun to sing along with in a car.
Combined with his voice too.
Oh my God.
But they're a perfect example of what I was saying. You just love the sound of that band.
Oh
yeah.
If you're alone in the car, I'm blasting out, looking out my back door.
Down on the corner with Willie and the Po' Boys.
Yeah. Just blasting down on the corner. Who's not blasting that? If you have a nickel, won't you lay your money down?
Exactly. Yes.
Oh my God. You can just say, like I said, Tombstone Shadow fucking slide guitar all over the place. Oh, it's just his voice. Or how about if he all of a sudden center field comes up? Who doesn't wait for that part in center field when you're.
Yep.
It's gone. It's awesome. And you can kiss that one goodbye. That home run sound.
Yep.
Oh my God.
Good stuff.
Oh yeah.
All right, my next one is a new band, or I should say new. The friggin' first album came out 20 years ago, whatever. But this is a band I've seen in concert a few times. Oh. Wonderful, melodic, hard rock. Not even hard. Just one of probably my favorite voice right now in current rock music. They haven't made an appearance on ARC yet. They might. I don't know yet, but I'm going with Shinedown. I have every album in their entire discography.
Shinebox?
Okay, go get your Shinebox. For new bands, Brent Smith's vocals are one of my favorite vocals ever of any genre. Just a soaring, amazing voice. It's sometimes it would be like disposable post-grunge rock or whatever you want to call it, but I love it. Some of the stuff is really, really fantastic. I've seen them twice in concert. And I have everything that they've ever put out, and they're another band that I just love the sound of them. So they're on my list for sure.
I know one song of theirs.
That's okay. Well, you will soon. You will soon.
Anything of theirs.
It's all right.
All right. Number three, quite simply, I'm going back to that style of classic rock hair metal shit.
Yep.
And that's Whitesnake.
Oh, yes. I knew that would be there.
I love the earlier, bluesier Whitesnake albums. I have them all. I've listened to them. As soon as 87 Whitesnake came out, I went backwards. I bought it in. And then all of a sudden I started getting, you know, everything from Trouble to Love Hunter to Come and Get It, which I picked for ARC. I love that.
Slide
shit.
It in.
Oh, my God. The guitarist. I love Bernie Marsden. I love Mick Moody, Neil Murray, Ian Pace, and David Coverdale. That to me is Whitesnake. The shit that came out afterwards. They have some great songs, great albums. That's a different band. I don't know what that is.
No, you're right.
It's not the original Whitesnake, and they're still two different great bands.
Yep.
But Whitesnake altogether, definitely have it in.
Nice. I knew that would be there. For me, this is one that I don't know if we can make this kind of exception of the rule, but it's an incarnation of a band with a particular lead singer that I would prefer over the other lead singer, although I do like some of that stuff. But for me, I'm going Bon Scott era AC/DC, specifically Bon Scott. Yeah, I like Black and Black. I like For Those About to Rock. But after that, the Brian Johnson era kind of falls apart for me. AC/DC with Bon Scott is just, you just can't fucking beat it for me. Again, another, you throw on any one of their albums and I'm listening to it start to finish.
Yeah, I love AC/DC. I think Back in Black is almost a perfect album.
Yeah, it is. I agree.
Patreon people, pick it, please. Because none of us want to waste our fucking pick on it.
It's true.
But after that, what I found is a lot of the non-Bon Scott albums, the Brian Johnson albums, there's one or two good songs and that's it. And the albums themselves are fucking throwaways.
I agree. But
the other Bon Scott had better albums.
Oh, yes.
Except for maybe Back in Black. And then you have a couple songs. They would release a video and that would be the one song from that album.
Yep.
Whether it's Heat Seeker or Flick of the Switch or Sink the Pink.
But there's those albums, like
one song and that's it. Right.
Yeah. Those albums are not good albums.
Who needs who made who?
Who made who? Like, yeah. But you go back and listen to like Powerage or Let There Be Rock and obviously Highway to Hell and all that. I mean, Dirty Deeds, fucking just insane stuff.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. So number four for me, I'm going to go off the beaten path.
Do it.
I'm going to take one, my only hip hop artist, and that is N.W.A.
Yes.
I can listen to that whole Dr. Dre tree all the way through, which goes down to Snoop, Eminem, MC Ren, and Ice Cube, and all that shit. But the original, Straight Outta Compton, there was an original one called Straight Outta Compton and Friends, or whatever the fuck that one is. I have that on CD.
Yeah,
I have that Straight Outta Compton, 100 Miles and Running EP.
100 Miles and Running, and then
I'm
fantastic.
Not gonna say the other fucking.
Yeah, the other one. The other one we're not gonna say. Yeah.
That, and even when they came back and did Greatest Hits and they added Chin Check.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Eazy-E. That's probably the best hip hop song after anything from NWA. I just love it. I think it's fucking hilarious. I think the beats are incredible. I don't even know who's better than who. As much as Ice Cube is great, I love MC Ren in NWA.
Yep.
Dr. Dre knows how to drop his fucking beats and make it funny, a hook. Catchy, and then you have fucking Eazy-E, who every time he comes out, you know, a street like beep, you know me.
Yeah, it's amazing. Oh, fucking awesome. Yeah. Yep.
Love that shit.
Me too. Me too. All right. Next one is probably a little heavy on 2 to 3 albums. But this is an artist that I love. Loved him since, you know, I was a kid. And it's a band I still listen to today. Fatigue Factor, of course, because you've been beating over the head a lot of their hits, but I'm going with Journey at number on this list for me. Love Journey. Love them.
I can live with Journey's greatest hits. I don't think I need to have one fucking album from them.
Really? Okay.
I don't have any albums of theirs.
Oh, okay. Okay.
If I listen to Journey's greatest hits,
okay.
What do I need? I've never heard anybody talking to me about deep cuts off a fucking Journey album.
Yeah, well, it's funny because I was just about to do that because the deep cuts off of Escape are fucking so underrated. The first one, the title track Escape, the song Lay It Down, Mother Father, the incredible. But that album.
There you go. You're the first who's done it.
Right. But that album, and to its credit, gets so weighed down on those iconic legendary hits. And the same thing with Frontiers. So many hits. They're such a hit band like that. Like you said, it's like, well, what do I need to buy their albums for? If you like those hits, the albums are worth it because they just have a fantastic sound.
Do they play anything other than their hits?
Yeah, I actually have the Live in Houston album, and half of the album is not hits. Yeah, all right. Yeah, well, it's good stuff. I mean, if you like Journey, I would urge you to listen.
I mean,
to
I like I like stuff. I like 80s rock, soft rock, arena fucking rock.
Arena rock. Yeah.
Like I like those like ballads and shit. You don't like like I like Chicago's hits. Yeah. I can listen to those ballads. I can listen to Styx's stuff. I can listen to Journey stuff. I like them, but I'm not going out buying Styx's discography.
No one is except for Steve Wright. God bless you, Steve.
I didn't realize he was a big
I think if I recall correctly, Steven, you can correct me if you're listening to this. I thought he said his favorite album of all time is The Grand Illusion by Styx.
Dude, that was one of my albums I got when I was little and I first had the first ever Columbia house and they would send me albums.
Yeah.
And that came to me in like some fucking like, you know, I didn't know you had to stop or they were going to ship you like albums. I'm like 6-7 years old. This is
college era of raiding Columbia House and BMG.
And all my fake names like Jorge Plantes.
Jorge Plantes.
Chode. Ziggy Marley. Dude, I got fucking CDs in those names.
Addressed to Ziggy Marley. Oh, God. Anyways, go ahead.
All right. Number five for me, I'm going to go to a genre that we both love. And number five for me, I'm taking the great Pearl Jam.
Yes.
I mean, they may not be my favorite grunge band, but I mean, there's so many songs that I love by them. And there's so many albums. Every album has a couple songs that you're like, I got to listen to this. And you go all the way down and you'll find a track that just moves you like Breathe. Just Breathe. Excuse me. Not Breath. Just Breathe. And that's a fucking
beautiful song. Beautiful.
Exactly.
Song.
Things like that will pop up here and there. Yep. I Am Mine.
Mm-hmm.
Love Boat Captain.
Great song off a pretty bad album.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You'll still find those fucking hidden gems all over the place. Really, can you find anything all the way up to Yield that I like an artist as much as I like their first five?
Yeah. Well, I'll add to that because they're on my list as well. Pearl Jam, of course. I mean, certain albums are obviously stronger than others, but it's Pearl Jam. And again, I think I've mentioned it before. Their latest album, Gigaton, kind of flew under the radar. I think they released one or two singles. It's a good album. It's a really good album. And Lightning Bolt is fucking awesome. Backspacer is fucking awesome. They're still putting out great stuff. But yeah, definitely Pearl Jam is going to be on this list. So,
okay. All right, Tom, let's take a quick little break and we'll be right back.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant-quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus Meal Plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/Pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
All right, so number six for me, I'm going to go to a different genre again.
Yep.
I'm going to the beginning and the foundation of real honky-tonk, and that is probably maybe the greatest artist, not the greatest singer. That's George Jones, the greatest singer.
Yep.
But the greatest artist in country music, and I love Johnny Cash, but nobody's better or more original than fucking the original Hank Williams.
Oh, yeah.
I can listen to him. Like, all his songs are so stripped down to the bare. You can find rock and roll. If you start listening and moving on over, you can find R&B. You can find the real country music and real hillbilly honky tonk music all from this one guy who wrote all his songs.
Yep.
Just a fucking legend. Talk about the 27 Club, the fucking guy heart just stop from being such a fucking alcoholic, died on New Year's Eve, going to a concert in the back of a fucking car.
Good for him.
This fucking drunken fucking fool with talent off the fucking charts.
Yep.
Some of the best lyrics still to this day. If you want, and because you can get greatest hits from him, because he didn't have that many because they weren't doing like albums back then. So you can go out and buy like Hank Williams 40 greatest hits, listen to that and just have your mind blown, and you'll find yourself humming, singing. You're like, wow, this sounds like that's, and you'll realize how many songs and music in any genre took off from Hank Williams. And he's still just fucking legendary to me.
Nice. Nice. My next one, I'm going, this is not really breaking any news. It's, you know, everybody knows the band, likes the band, loves the band, whatever. And but they got to go on a list here, and that's Van Halen. And I'm taking the whole discography, the Sammy.
Oh, you're not allowed.
I'm not. Well, I'm even taking Gary Cherone.
No, you can like Sammy and David Lee Roth.
No, you have to hate one of the other.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. Mel Brooks.
Yeah. Dude, that fucking picture.
He does look like Mel. And Ace is over looking at him laughing. Like, hey, Mel. What do you think about putting me in Spaceballs too?
Oh my God.
I'm the spaceman.
Put me in that movie. They call me Doc Helmet. Oh God. Fucking that did look like Mel Brooks.
Wanna be in your new movie, History of the World Part 2.
My God.
Oh, yeah, Van Halen, I get it. Completely get
it. Yeah. Yep.
Again, if you go. And this is a different thing. If you go, you know, the top three, but if you did top five songs of bands, I don't know who's beating out Van Halen's top five songs.
That's a good point.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Tom.
Jesus Christ, Mel.
Let's get Eddie now while he's got the guitar muscle. Come on. All right. Number seven for me, I'm going to go with an artist that, it is not on any of our genres so far. And I am going with The Temptations.
Oh, yes. I knew they'd be
there. If there's any Motown artist, I love their story. Ever since I watched that fucking one of the greatest miniseries of all time, that Temptations movie.
I didn't see it, but I heard it was great.
We should do a fucking commentary on that. That fucking guy, actor Leon playing David Ruffin, it's hilarious.
Yep.
Ain't nobody coming to see you. They come to see me. It's a fest. Just off the charts. And they had me discover their discography. One of the best things I have is the box set, the Temptations box set. So fucking good. David Ruffin, to me, is the best soul singer of all time.
Yep.
And then you can add in the rest of them and the harmonies and all that shit. And even when he left, you know, and they bring in fucking Dennis fucking Don't Call Me Green Edwards in, he still comes out and starts doing, you know, Papa Was a Rolling Stone, Cloud Nine and other shit, winning Grammys afterwards. Fucking The Temptations. Nobody beat him. Nobody was cooler than them. The look, the style, the class. Oh, just love The Temptations.
Yep. Nice. All right. Next one for me is a band. Again, talking about discographies. Their most recent album that came out a few years ago was a dud, but that's because they had somebody producing it from a band that shouldn't have been producing it. But other than that, to me, their first three albums are pretty much untouchable. And they did have some hidden gems in the 90s and 2000s. Seen them a bunch of times with Zeus, of course. Yes. And that is Tesla is going on my list here. Another band, I just fucking love the sound of Tesla.
After Psychotic Supper, I kind of, you know, they just fell off for me.
Yeah.
They
put out an album in the 90s. What? I think it was
Bust the Nut.
The fucking album is incredible. That is almost like Tesla's, like, it's almost like what Revenge was to Kiss is like what Bust the Nut is to Tesla. That album fucking rips. And it got nowhere because I think it came out in 94 when no one was listening to Tesla at that time. Fantastic fucking record. But they put out a bunch of good albums. That album I was mentioning, though, was Shock. And it was terrible because it was produced by it's awful. It was produced by Phil Collin from Def Leppard. It sounds like a little wimpy Def Leppard Tesla album. And Tesla even acknowledges now, since years have passed, they acknowledge now that it wasn't really good, and I think they don't blame.
Well, they have 15 fucking layered vocals and Mutt Lange style of recording.
Yeah, that and the songs itself are very, very like little kind of light in the ass Def Leppard type shit. It's not a good album at all. Yeah, it's really bad. It was a disappointment.
But especially their first two. I mean, there's some great songs on Psychotic Supper too.
Great radio controversy.
Oh my God. Yeah. Fantastic.
Yep.
All right. Number eight for me, going back to a genre that most of you guys don't listen to, and that's Dwight Yoakam.
Oh, there's your boy. Yep.
I have every one of his 40 albums that I think he has, something like that.
Yep.
So original. So writes his own music, writes his own lyrics, own fucking style. He can take any fucking class. He's done so. He's like the Johnny Cash of this era where you're like, I bet you Johnny Cash never did this song. You look it up. Motherfucker did that song too.
Yep.
Dwight Yoakam's covered a lot of great tracks, and everything he does is just his sound. It's just so different. He and the original track songs he's done, he's so different than anybody else. That nasally voice, that fucking hillbilly rock style of fucking guitar and twang, so different from anything else and his contemporaries. Ahead of everybody, vocally, musically, all that stuff. Completely different. He's got his own different style. And I mean, I could go down and listen to a playlist for you.
Yeah.
Every one of his vocals is just off the charts, cool as fuck. And then you'll see him in a video like, who's that short little ugly bald troll guy with a fucking ugly looking face? And you're like, that's Dwight Yoakam, that cool looking guy in that cowboy hat? Yep. And so I don't know. For me, I'm not sure anybody can be as cool in country, especially not now. Well, maybe Tim McGraw. Those two can battle it out. But Dwight Yoakam, I fucking love his music. Love
it. Nice. Nice. Yeah, I'm going to go with somebody that's pretty much the exact opposite of Dwight Yoakam. A band that wasn't around for that long, but they had a couple albums. They were all fucking bangers. I've seen them in concert a bunch of times. My most frightening concert experience was seeing them in the late 90s, and that is the great, now defunct, Rage Against the Machine. Oh, not a lot of albums, but every single one of them is an absolute fucking banger. Unbelievable stuff. They kind of hit the ground running, and then they faded. They put out a live album. They have a couple like live rare type compilation type things you can find. But another band, I just love their fucking sound. Incredible shit from Rage.
I will give them credit that they are fucking original.
Yep.
You know, a lot of bands did that rock rap shit.
Yep.
That doesn't sound like anybody else.
No.
Because musically, they can fucking do it.
Yes. Yep.
Right? They have a unique sound, and I'll give them credit for that.
Yep. Indeed.
All right. Number nine for me is, I mean, I almost put them in my top 10. And that is another favorite of mine of the 90s, and that's Stone Temple Pilots.
Oh, yeah.
I absolutely love them. The music, the vocals, the lyrics. I think that they get sometimes, unfortunately, overlooked amongst the great stuff that's out there. But you guys see how highly I think of Purple.
Yep.
And there's some other great tracks and great albums out there. Go listen to that new album that they just put out. It's more acoustic stuff. It's almost like Jar of Flies. The first track on that, Fare Thee Well, is so fucking beautiful. So they have, unfortunately, you know, they lost Scott Weiland, and then they brought in the other guy, Chester, what's his face there?
Chester Bennington from Linkin Park.
And then he fucking dies.
Yep.
And so now what you've got is a guy by the name of Jeff Gutt. I know if Kiss fans found out about this, they'd be like, fake Scott,
fake Weiland.
Yeah. He looks like him, and he sings like him, and he moves like him.
Yep.
But he's really talented. So I like him. I think he's cool. But and I love how STP is a big, they're all big Kiss fans too.
Oh yeah. Yep. All right. Next one on my list. The very first rap band I ever heard in my life. And it was funny because I just stumbled.
The Fat Boys?
Oh, God. We're going to have to do a live commentary of their movie Disorderlies, which I saw in the theaters.
Oh, no. Is that their version of The Twist?
Come on, baby. Terrible. But I accidentally stumbled upon a documentary, 3-part series, brand new on Peacock about these guys called The Kings of Queens. and that is Run DMC. Incredible story. And just like every other documentary, three parts. The growth and the rise, them on top of the world, and then kind of them falling back to earth, especially with Jim Master Jay was murdered. Just fucking horrible tragedy there. But it's awesome about how they started, like, from the street. They heard what they wanted to be. They became that. And there's a really cool part, especially in part two, where it shows how they had to adjust themselves to be relevant in the 90s, because rap obviously changed with NWA, with Tupac, with gangster rap, with all the East Coast, West Coast. And you got these nice guys over here, the Run DMC guys, doing My Adidas and You Be Illin.
Is that like when Jimmy Fox said, bitch, you Dougie Fresh?
Exactly. Yes.
Like Dougie Fresh, Cool Moe Dee, and all them.
Right. Right. But they evolved. And yeah, I love those. I've always loved those guys, especially that debut album. Ooh, is that a classic?
Hip hop treats their people like the hair metal bands.
Yep.
Right. When hair metal came out of style, when gangster rap came in, people were like laughing at Cool Moe Dee, LL Cool J. Well, they were a fucking laughing stock, losers. Yep. They weren't selling shit. They weren't like, yeah, they're our elders, man. We need to respect. They were like, fuck them.
But the cool thing about the
horny shit,
the cool thing about this documentary, they have tons of interviews. I mean, they have Ice Cube. They have all these LL Cool J, all these old school guys, new school guys, brand new guys. They have the surviving members of the Beastie Boys all talking about the unbelievable influence of that Run DMC.
Of course, they're not going to shit on them now.
No, right.
Metallica doesn't need to punch down and beat up Great White.
Oh, of course. Right? Of course. Right.
You know what I mean? Yes. Nowadays, they're all buddies and they're all like, oh, yeah, the LA scene. Yeah. Yep. But back then, they're like, fuck these guys.
Yeah.
And that's what happened, because we used to laugh at that. Like, who's buying a fucking Slick Rick album?
I was.
Eric B and Rakim.
How don't you dare badmouth Paid in Full.
But like, people were laughing at that. They were so corny to people. Well, what was the other one? It was Who's Down on the Positive Tip. Fucking, what was his name? KRS-One.
Boogie Down Productions. Fucking love those guys, dude.
And the other one there. Heavy D and the Boys.
Oh, terrible, terrible, terrible.
Never we found love. What are we gonna do?
That's terrible.
What was that other song that fat ass had?
What, the overweight lovers in the house?
What was the other song by Heavy D?
Bismarck?
Oh, Jesus. He ended up going on that fucking crack house.
Yeah.
Whatever that fucking Zoogly Zoo, whatever the fuck that show was.
Remember, dude, he was on crack. Go listen to Just a Friend. You think Ace sounds bad?
Yeah. No, but what was that fucking thing? Oh, he was on Yo Gabba Gabba. That's what it was.
Would you say Zoogly?
Zoogly Zoo, whatever. Of course. Henrietta Hippo and Freddie the Frog. You remember them?
Yes, unfortunately, I do.
Yes. Yo Gabba Gabba with the other guy in the red suit and the one dildo guy. He was red. He looked like a fucking spike dildo.
Spike, and that other one that didn't have fucking elbows. The arms just moved.
The green guy, and he was always nervous.
Oh, God.
Right, well, that was great while you changed it around. Known professionally as Heavy D, Jamaican-born American rapper. And actor. He was in a lot of TV shows and movies.
He was terrible. He was not good. He was not good.
What was his other big hit?
What, Don't Curse? The Posse Cut with like 10 other guys?
What? Well, Now That We Found Love, what was his other song?
The Overweight Lover.
No.
I don't know, dude.
Hold on.
I was not a fan of his shit.
I got nothing but love for you, baby.
Oh, there's another good one.
I got nothing but love.
Yeah, I mean, it's not as good as Basketball by Curtis Blow.
Who's the other fat guy? Oh, Fat Joe. What's
Fat Joe? Oh, we'll do a hip hop retrospective sometime soon.
Fat Joe.
Fat Joe. That's when you just give up on your name. Hey, what do you want to call? You want it like some kind of cool name, like Slick Rick or Cool Moe Dee,
Dynamite, or fucking The Rock, or this and that? Fat Joe.
You want like Grandmaster Flash or anything like that, like Jam Master Jay? How about Fat Joe?
Or someone just simply said, Which guy are you talking about? Oh, you mean Fat Joe?
That's your name, motherfucker.
That's the one. That's
what they want.
All right, so you got to Run DMC. All right, my last one, Tom.
Yep.
Almost squeaked in.
Yep.
Before. And I've got a lot of love for him lately because there's a lot of talk of career, kind of like a retrospect tour and all that other shit going on. And the anniversary of the debut album, that's Bon Jovi.
Oh, yeah.
I would say Bon Jovi, my love for them up to New Jersey was as good as any love I had for Kiss at one
really?
Point. Bon Jovi was, I mean, and it's so in a heterosexual way.
Well, yeah, those wild hickory nuts can get you going.
I know. But to me, I was one of the guys that liked Bon Jovi. As I was talking, I think it was with Tony, I Love to Vacation, fucking Musalem.
Yeah.
I had the VHS that came out of all their videos before Slippery When Wet came out.
Yeah.
So it had like Silent Night and fucking Runaway and all that other shit. Hardest Part of the Night, I think the other one was. I forget. But regardless, no, She Don't Know Me, the original cut with the Mexican guy with the fucking, with the knife.
Terrible.
That they cut out in the other video. Ugh. Anyways, I fucking loved it. Hooky pop. To me, nothing is as quintessential hard rock in the 80s as John Bon Jovi's band Bon Jovi. That music was catchy as all fuck. Richie Sambora's guitar, I fucking loved. Perfect songs that made the radio. And then they became so big that everybody loved them and they took my band away from me. Yep. And then he made the smart business decision to be like, you know what? Grunge is going to kill us. I need to go to the adult contemporary country style of music.
That's right.
To make a second career. And he did.
Yep.
Okay. So all those people that give shit to all those other people, hey, Def Leppard needs like three other acts to do what Bon Jovi can still do right now on his own.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? Bon Jovi can do that on his own. He's one of the few guys that can go say, okay, Metallica, you want to play that stadium? I'll play that stadium.
Yeah.
Anybody else from that era?
No.
Maybe Iron Maiden in Europe. They ain't doing it here.
No, because if Iron Maiden's touring here, they're going to have somebody pretty big opening up for them. They're going to be
Metallica type stadiums.
Oh, fuck no. Nobody
That's
is.
What I'm saying, but they no. could yeah, yeah. maybe in Europe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're much bigger there. But anyways, for me, Bon Jovi, fucking love all the original albums. And
never. That's a band that just kind of never got it. I like the hits from Slippery When Wet, but never got into Bon Jovi. And I love I love Slippery When Wet. Fucking obviously killer and album. But
like Slippery When Wet is similar, but it changed the style because Desmond comes in.
Yes.
Then the original hard rock, blue collar type of music that the original first two albums had.
Well, they saw the dollar signs. They saw, they got to do the right thing.
Them.
Like, yeah.
How do you like listen to like the songs, the hits off of Slippery and Wet in New Jersey?
Yeah.
And not be like, these guys are like fucking geniuses on how to write a song that'll get on the radio that boys can like when the girls aren't, when no one's looking.
Yep.
And girls absolutely adore. And plus Bon Jovi,
the fucking most handsome man.
I know. It didn't hurt that Richie was a good looking guy too.
Mm-hmm.
Now the rest of the band.
Who, Tico Torres? He's not a good looking guy. Is that why he's behind the drum kit?
No, and the fake basses that didn't play on any albums, but they had him for the look, like Greg Brady and the Johnny Bravo.
Hey, get over there. Pretend you're slapping the bass.
The wee guy, Hugh McDonald, he played on all the albums. They fucking wouldn't put him in any of the videos or tour. Oh, anyways, Bon Jovi's my 10th.
All right, I'm going to finish off with a band that almost squeaked into my original top 10, but didn't. Seen him in concert last summer. Seen him again. Actually, seen him again next month. Forgot all about this. Time's creeping up on me. A band where their early discography was not my style. They grew into themselves, and now to me, they're fucking untouchable, and that is Avenged Sevenfold. Of course, these guys absolutely fucking tear the place down. Saw them last summer. Seen them next month. Their last album, a lot of people still can't wrap their arms or their ears around it. I have grown to absolutely love it for what it is. But go back and listen to Hail of the King, their self-titled White Album, the Nightmare Album, all that shit. Fucking incredible shit. Hard, heavy, brutal, but at the same time, they can be extremely melodic with one of the greatest lead vocalists out there right now. Avenged Sevenfold fucking crushes.
I know.
Yep.
I'll tell you, we did the album. I liked it. I didn't fall in love with it. I bet you if I gave them more of a chance, I probably would fall in love with it. But that, yep. I mean, I love that Hail to the King song.
Yeah.
Watch your tongue or have it cut from your head.
Exactly. Great opening lyric.
The fuck down.
Settle down, M Shadows.
Oh, okay.
Okay, Sinister Gates. Ooh.
Okay. I'm going to put you up against Heavy D and the Boys in a battle royal.
I got nothing but love for you, honey.
And that's going to stay in your fucking head now.
Terrible.
I got nothing but love for you.
Yuck.
What was he called? The overweight, oversized lover?
The overweight lovers in the house. That's a song. Awful. Awful.
Heavy D and the Boys.
Spelled with a Z, don't forget. B-O-Y-Z.
He had guys in like cardigans, like dancing in the background.
Yeah, and he was wearing like plus size jabots.
Yeah, not jabots, geranimals, whatever those fucking quarterback fucking pants. The fucking quarterback commercial with the fucking print ad where they all had the fucking
Tuskins?
Whatever. Remember all the quarterbacks had those fucking with the color.
I thought you said, did you say Garanimals? That's like fucking kids' school. You mean like Zubaz.
Zubaz. Remember that fucking print ad?
Yeah.
Like Boomer Esiason.
Yeah, it's got like Dan Marino, Bernie Kosar with his fucking afro and his
Vinny Testaverde. Yeah. Jim Everett. Remember that?
Yeah.
And they all have like the colored pants that match their team's uniform.
Zubaz. That's those. Yes.
Yes. He had those and his buddies all would have them. They're all in the cardigans.
With like the MC Hammer
dance. Now that we found love.
Oh, God. Fucking brutal.
Oh,
man.
Well, we hope you enjoyed the list. I hope it gives you guys an insight into what kind of music we like and the stuff that we talk about on the show. So till next time, guys. Peace out, Girl Scouts.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.